Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield & Company.
Old man moment to open the hour. Stood up, put my microphone down, couldn't find it. It was right in front of me. These things happen. Get ready, Adam Hill. The much younger Adam Hill and Cofield, live, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. More coming up this hour. More coming up this hour on J.J. Redick. I laugh, but I find it fascinating. J.J. Redick, new head coach of the Lakers. We'll get you updated soon on some boxing news with Ryan Garcia. NFL news and notes as well. All right, Adam, give me your reaction to what we just did.
I think you caused some drama.
I don't know. Here's the thing. We had Mickey Sudo on, and I don't think we creep competitive eaters out. I think they're kind of shocked sometimes by how into it we are.
Yeah. Well, because I think they do a lot of interviews, and it's mostly just like, hot dog, there's a lot of hot dogs that you're eating. Like, yeah, yes, we know.
Right. Your typical giggle, giggle morning shows, which there's a place for those too.
Sure.
I have a feeling Jason Feinberg probably wouldn't do an interview like that because I have a feeling that he probably bets the hot dog contest.
Yeah.
We know him a little bit.
A little bit.
He plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, when there's a time for the fun and frivolity and there's a time to freaking start talking about chipmunking and reversals. And as Adam said, We're calling it now. Listen, if the Shea brothers want to play around with the whole contract thing, right? Should have just upped the money, blocked out International Foods and our whole veggie dog thing with Chestnut. If they want to have all the fun, and I like George. I think Rich is funny. George is great as the town crier. The comedy's high level. But Adam's pointed out, people are betting on this now, and it's no longer Chestnut basically against himself and whatever the total is. Now, there's going to be six or seven eaters there, and those judges in Ohio, who may have screwed over Nick Weary, we're just going to start a controversy now.
Yeah.
On the qualifier with Bertoletti, that can't happen. You got to have judges. Where's Angel Hernandez? He's got time now. Can you imagine if Angel Hernandez was paid an appearance fee, was on, like, the guy who was, like, expected to be number six. The guy excels. We go through replay, and Hernandez missed, like, three hot dogs.
Very possible. Also,
or gave him three hot dogs.
Also, Mickey used a term that I think a lot of people might have but not fully grasped or understood, and it's one of the more controversial terms, debris.
I didn't hear debris.
Yeah, because there's just a lot of times they're eating these, and there's just, like, half the bun is just flying around. Like, you need to eat the entire thing.
She's not available. But when Mickey said that, was there a small part of you that was like, I love you? You didn't say it, but you thought it.
If she would have dove
like deep, she's in a rule. Because she was into the rules.
If she would have dove deeper into the violations and how she's mad at the officiating, I would have been more in.
I feel like you need your own. Does Pablo Torre do the one? Like, what is he doing? Getting to the bottom?
Pablo Torre finds out.
Finds out. I feel like you need, like, a ripoff of that, but on really offbeat stuff.
That would be tremendous.
Maybe you should do one on.
It would be just way too hardcore, though.
Maybe you should do one on and counter his absolute fascination with the owners of the Mavs. Did you take that as an insult, as part of the family?
I took it as an attack. He usually does a lot of really good journalism, good work. That was just ridiculous.
That's what he's known as. Huh? Pablo Torre, vicious, just absolutely vicious.
The family business trying to get by.
I lost track of time there too. I was like, "Ah, we'll talk to Nick in a couple of weeks." I can't. He's like, "We got to get him." It's nitty gritty time.
Two weeks and 2 days.
Yeah,
something like that. I could be wrong.
We'll have to look up one more bite. Rodriguez.
Yeah, Juan Rodriguez.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he's Well, you notice I didn't bring him up. Because I brought up Raina Wong, who I guess Mickey had a line about, like something about Raina shows a lot or something.
Well, she's every second of her day is on social media.
Oh, okay. Because I asked you during the break, I'm like, does she have an OnlyFans?
Well, look, she has a Patreon. She doesn't have an OnlyFans.
She does not.
Well, at least she doesn't link it quickly.
Yeah, at least she doesn't link it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we had her on last year. She was fun. She's more of a volume eater.
Well, she's more of a social media influencer.
Very much.
More of an influencer than an actual athlete.
There are a lot of eaters who are influencers. I think they're making money, too.
Yeah.
It's a good living if you can do it. I can't.
Influencing is great.
Is there a follow-up to that?
No.
Okay, you just want to throw it out there?
I mean, it's a random thing. I actually have to, like, sprint out of here. I have an interview to conduct with some YouTubers after the show.
Oh, so it's already on your mind. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to talk about that next week. Summer means concerts and shows.
It does.
And there's only a select few who can do monster shows. More impactful concert of the last 2 or 3 days. Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Last night. Or George Strait, Texas A&M, Kyle Field, 110,905 people. Largest attendance in the United States since 107,000 people showed up at Raceway Park in New Jersey for the Grateful Dead. More impactful. 110,000 with George Strait or Kendrick Lamar?
It's a serious question.
Well, I know you're not objective, but
also, were you on social media during the George Strait concert?
I was. I didn't.
Literally everyone tweeting about it.
I actually didn't find out about the George Strait concert until I watched a little bit of Pat McAfee interviewing Kenny Chesney.
I saw the big intro for Kenny Chesney today.
Did you? Do they have a text line?
No.
Ours is 702-364-1100.
Sure.
We will get advice from listeners who are like, all right, enough. Move on to something else. Did you text McAfee and you're like, okay, enough Kenny Chesney?
No, it was fine. I mean, I was doing other things during this, as I usually do. Doing work, actually setting up interviews with YouTubers.
Very important stuff. Are they hard to get?
Easier than I thought, but I actually had some insight.
Okay. I know some of the big ones are hard to get because we were offered a bunch before the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and it was a PR company that had about 25 of them, and I think we got one out of the 25. Jeez. I didn't put in for 25. I was like, sure. I'll take any of these 10, and we'll do multiple.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm glad you had success.
I know, me too. I'm very nervous about the interview. I'm formulating questions in my mind right now.
You're writing them down right now. Okay. Yeah. I agree with you. I think in terms of impact...
Of course. I mean, it's not even close.
Was it Ken and his friends? What was it called?
Yeah. Yes. The pop out. It was big.
But 110,000 is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no question. But, I mean, it's also, he went to the right part of the country.
Biggest stadium. Texas. That's all I have to say.
I don't think George Strait's drawing 110,000 in Inglewood.
Maybe not.
I don't think he's drawing the Crips and the Bloods.
Bringing
them together for the George Strait show.
Let's reach an accord for a couple hours.
I wanted to just do a quick sample of a song, like the Crips and the Bloods singing along. I literally do not know a single thing that George Strait sings. I'm sure I would know the song if I heard it.
We did this like 2 months ago. You started looking up songs.
I'm sure I've heard them. What's the most famous one?
I think we talked about Amarillo by Morning. Is that what it's called? Is it By Morning?
That's him?
Yeah.
Wasn't that song 40 years old?
I mean, he's old. Wow. It's been around forever.
Okay.
All right, how about this? Let me test your musical knowledge, because this would not be a realm that I would be involved in. Sammy P was on the other day.
Okay.
Fox Sports writer. And he wrote a story about a Dream World Series for bookmakers who were saying, man, the Dodgers and Yankees would really help. Like, that would be a big draw.
Sure.
But he led into it by saying, 43 years since they met, Ronald Reagan operated inside the Oval Office. Average price of gasoline was $1.35. And Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie was atop the Billboard charts. So my mind went immediately to, because you know I like doing karaoke, my mind went immediately to, what's the best male-female duet of all time? But I think along like schmaltzy lines, like 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But then I was like, you know, hip-hop's had a lot of collaborations with males and females.
They have.
You got anything?
I mean, there's a lot of great ones. Like the first thing that comes to my mind is because they did a lot of stuff together.
Right.
Actually, we were debating. We had some good debates about this the other day. But the first one that comes to my mind, just because they did so much and their voices blended so well, would be like Ja Rule and Ashanti. Did like a bunch of, and they were, and I think they still do some shows potentially at some point. So I think they were great. Obviously, you've got like Jay-Z and Rihanna. Actually, everybody has done a song with Rihanna. So I think that's
Eminem.
Pretty good. Yeah, for sure. That was great. Drake and Rihanna have done some great stuff together.
Who's going to be the first female to step up and do a new duet with Drake?
Oh, he'll have his crew for sure.
You still think he has his allies?
There's still actually 21 Savage the other day went in to L.A. and had the crowd sing along with a Drake song on stage.
Oh wow!
To basically be like, hey, it's still my guy. And he 21 was shouted out at obviously in Not Like Us. As like being one of Drake's guys, but basically being fake about it. So he was kind of showing like, no, that's real. We're friends. So I think there'll still be people in the industry that'll work together.
I gave you a couple on the rundown too. Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. Sure. Empire State of Mind.
Sure.
And is it Method Man? Mary J. Blige?
Sure.
Okay.
There's so many great songs that are involved with duos for sure. I feel like yours is Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow.
I hate that song. not because I don't
like
Kid Rock.
You sang it.
I always hated that. No, I don't think I've ever done it. I never liked that song.
It feels like something you would love.
I like singers.
Okay.
Or hip hop rappers. He's sure. Neither.
What about Nelly and Kelly Rowland?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Tremendous.
I saw that one on a list.
Yeah. There's just so many.
Mine are like, you know what mine would be. I'll do it by myself.
Wait, what's that?
Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand.
What song do they sing together?
You Don't Bring Me Flowers. One of the greatest songs ever.
Actually,
it's very simple too. It's great.
I'll present this. The debate we did. I think we actually mentioned this on the show like 3 months ago. It is still a raging debate with some of my friends. Greater female artist, Rihanna or Beyonce? I think the answer is obvious. It's obviously Rihanna to me. But part of the argument that was made the other day. Was Rihanna even has better songs with Jay-Z than Beyonce does. And that's her husband.
Oh.
And like, wow. And it's true.
That's a punch in the gut.
Yeah. But I think Rihanna definitely over Beyonce.
Sorry, I was just logging the other 50 duets.
Sure. A lot of them like
I did,
the 70s.
I did tell you that on the subject of a duet, I almost got into a bar fight.
Oh,
with a woman who was about 6'1", 250. I don't think you were there.
When was this?
Probably about 4 years ago. Whenever A Star Is Born came out with Lady Gaga.
Okay, that's a good one.
We were talking about the hit song. There was a bunch of good songs in that movie, but Shallow, which I really like, plus the male role in it, Bradley Cooper really doesn't sing.
But he did.
He barely does.
But those are the whole thing, what did
he say? Well, but he really couldn't sing. Kris Kristofferson was the original.
Sure.
With Barbara Streisand. And my friend, this was actually happening at a bar. My friend and I were talking about Shallow versus the first movie, and the song was Evergreen. And we're like, Shallow's better. And the second movie is a little bit better. It's different, but it's better. And some lady comes over. She was bringing the heat. She was like seriously arguing with us. I'm like, are we like bodying up here over freaking A Star Is Born?
Genuinely mad?
Kind of. Yes.
Well, I was just thinking, I think season 2 of The Office, there was a karaoke song that was performed. Michael was trying to get any of the girls to sing with him.
Okay.
And none of them would.
What was it?
And then Jim stood up and sang with him. But he was mad because he wanted a girl voice. And I think it was
Islands in the Stream?
I think it was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. That's, is that the?
That is a good one, yes.
Okay. There you go.
It's a very good one.
Yeah. Solid. Jim and Michael did it, though. I think that was the better version.
Breaking news out of the NFL this morning. A Browns defensive end drove into a restaurant in Key West. My question is, what restaurant?
I saw it in the story.
I mean, he really drove into a restaurant.
He did.
I mean, was he hauled in and already popped?
Yeah, estimated $300,000 in damage.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't look like that much. Well, insurance companies.
I mean, it's a Key West property. Can't be cheap.
It is Florida. Insurance is very high now.
Yeah. God, it's the Red Shoe Island Bistro.
All right, we gotta look out the menu. And I thought it did damage to what looked like maybe a patio area, but I looked at it very quickly.
By the way, as soon as I typed in Red Shoe Island Bistro autofilled, which means a lot of people are Googling it today.
Or it means that your phone's just listening.
It could. I think it's
constantly monitoring the show, so your searches during the show are easy.
4.9 on Yelp out of 410 reviews. That's very impressive.
Who is Lonnie Phelps?
No. Not a good driver. They're famous for the key lime pie, which I guess is very famous in Key West, but also beef stroganoff and a yellowtail snapper.
I'll accept the key lime pie and I'll accept the yellowtail snapper. Can any place really be famous for beef stroganoff?
I think so.
I had some about 2 weeks ago. It wasn't bad.
Ooh, they have a pear and blue cheese salad.
Way over the top with the dollop of sour cream. Mod on. It was a lot. It was good, though.
Oh, lobster crepes for $22. That sounds great.
That cannot be current.
I think it is.
You know most menus now.
You think it's an old menu?
Probably.
Okay.
I do that sometimes. I'll go and I'll look ahead to plan out some eats on a road trip, and then I'm like, yeah, this is before our shrinkflation run here. Actually, I will give most restaurants have not shrunk their portions. They just prices have gone up. I know food prices behind the scenes have gone up. Some have gone up. They didn't lower the prices, but whatever.
So I don't even know how to pronounce this.
You're very cultured.
This review, I don't know what that word is.
You're reading a Yelp review?
No. It's a review from the publication called The Key Wester.
Okay. All right.
Said all their appetizers are very good. Including the lobster roll profiteroles.
You better look that up.
I don't know.
You're making a mistake there.
I've never heard that before. The Caesar. I did not try this, but they cleared their plate of it, the people that were ordering it next to me, so I know it was good.
Okay. Shaky. I cleared a plate the other night of chicken fingers and fries, and it was solid. Solid is not a good rating for me.
Top contender.
I was just really hungry.
Top contender for my favorite key lime pie on the entire island.
I'm intrigued by that.
I think it's going to be a while before anybody can go to the Red Shoe Bistro.
It looks like there's damage out front. I don't think they drove it through the kitchen, or he drove it through the kitchen.
I feel like it's going to take a while to get it all reconstructed.
June 21st, beginning of summer. This is a ridiculous question,
summer
but with
solstice?
But with you. It might be accurate. Have you done a fantasy football draft yet?
I'm done. I'm in the middle of a free agent bidding process for a dynasty.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that. So you are active. On the way back, I saw a list. One guy had a quarterback way too freaking high, and then we got to get into the latest player poll. These player polls around the National Football League are awesome, as players were asked about an 18-game schedule, which we know is coming, but I wonder what they said.
Back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Big times here at Stadium Swim. Got the UFC 303 viewing party coming up. Adam, you will argue that the top of the card may not have the glitz and glamour of a Conor, but good fights.
Yeah, no question about it. I think it's a more competitive and just a better quality of card than it was before Conor and Jamal Hill were taken off the card. I think it's a better, more intriguing card. I also should point out here at Stadium Swim, like maybe no better time of year for Stadium Swim. There's soccer all day, every day, starting now. Copa America first match is literally going on right now in the first half. So you got Euro all day, Copa America all night, soccer like break of dawn. So open to close here at Stadium Swim. So yep. I think that would be tremendous.
You can watch it inside at Circus Sports as well. After the big showdowns at UFC 303, 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Now the hot dog eating contest. $5,000 hot dog eating contest. Weenies and bikinis. You want to come on down here? The contestants are wearing Joby swimwear. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But I'm going to look it up. I'm sure it's beautiful. First, second, and third place finishers taking home a share of a lot of money. First place,
$2,500. Real nice. I don't know who's checking for debris or stuffing. But I'm sure that's going to be very important also.
That'll go down 5 to 7 p.m. on the 4th of July. That's a Thursday.
Can't wait.
You're in?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
We'll actually be on the scene with Cofield & Company the day before on a Wednesday. We're doing a special Wednesday show.
Nice.
All right. Fantasy football, you said you're already starting to get into it. You're in a dynasty league. You're bidding. Might even be on a quarterback. Quarterbacks are the big, you know, very much the big thing now. They've become much bigger in fantasy football strategy than they ever were. One fantasy football ranking, quarterbacks from Field Yates with ESPN. One, Josh Allen. Two, Jalen Hurts. Three, Anthony Richardson. Four, Lamar Jackson. Five, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, the running quarterbacks are really what has taken over in terms of fantasy. Not necessarily in reality, but in fantasy leagues, you've got to have guys that can run. And Mahomes can run. He's capable of it, but he usually waits for the playoffs to really put up much rushing stats. Anthony Richardson last year started off like he was going to be the number one guy, hands down, by the end of the year, and then obviously got hurt and wasn't able to play. So it's intriguing to see where he's going to end up finishing if he is able to play a full year, but I think there's still a lot of questions. Is he actually going to be able to do that ever?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So where's he going to be drafted on average in a snake draft?
He'll be way up there. I mean, I'd never get elite quarterbacks because I would never waste a pick in the first, you know, 3-4 rounds on a quarterback. But I'm sure he's going to be in that group that gets picked in the first 4 to 5. You know, I think all five of those guys, maybe not Mahomes, but you know, there's leagues where Mahomes will go. So I would imagine you're going to see, you know, Hurts, Richardson, Allen go up there in that top, you know, third, fourth round, and then maybe some fifth round guys. I think seventh is usually about as early as I ever go.
Fantasy rankings: Josh Allen 1, this is quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts 2, Anthony Richardson 3, Lamar Jackson 4, Mahomes 5, Burrow 6, Stroud 7, Dak Prescott 8, Jordan Love 9, Brock Purdy 10, Justin Herbert not in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's worried about who he's going to throw to, which is fair. I've started to see some interesting theories thrown out there. I'm not fully behind it yet, but I want to see what they look like in training camp, and I want to talk to some people of what they look like. There's a growing theory that Justin Herbert's going to run a lot this year. And he is capable of it. He's a big, strong guy. He's very athletic. He can run. He ran a lot in college, actually. They haven't wanted to do that at the NFL level. But look at the years that Greg Roman has had success as a coordinator. Colin Kaepernick, Lamar Jackson, Tyrod Taylor. Like guys that run. Now, obviously, those guys run anyway. I think Josh Allen first year. Either way, he's been around almost every time he's had any kind of success. And obviously, Josh Allen's first year was a disaster. But anytime that Greg Roman has had any kind of success, it's been with a running quarterback. That's what he plays. Did Harbaugh bring him in and say, "Hey, look, we're going to run some stuff with this guy"? Now that could change. That could change the dynamic.
Yeah.
Of what Justin Herbert looks like in terms of a fantasy player.
I think he can be an effective runner, but one, Charger fans are going to melt down.
Yeah.
Because he's been hurt in the past. last year ruined their season. He had, what, the finger last year, and then I think he had the ribs the year before. The other issue is if you're going to run your quarterback a bunch because you feel like that's an integral part of the offense, you have to sign a backup.
Yeah.
High risk, some reward. Downside is disaster.
Yeah.
The backups are Easton Stick, Max Duggan.
Well, Max Duggan, they'd probably definitely want to run with.
Yes.
He does.
So, but unless your plan is to get to the third-string quarterback, I understand Harbaugh wants to run, and Roman is a run-centric OC, but I think he's also – he hasn't had a quarterback like – because even if he had Josh Allen wasn't at this level in terms of throwing the ball.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a good argument. Hey, you want to win games or you want to put up gaudy numbers at quarterback?
Yeah, I think – before they teach him the running plays, they probably teach him how to slide.
He's not good at that.
That'd be the thing to do if you want to actually get him to run the ball.
Can you?
I think you can teach it. If you watch in his college tape, if I remember, there was some hits, but he ran a lot in college. Obviously, we know the disastrous offensive coordinator he had in college.
You weren't in love with OC Marcus Arroyo at the time?
Yeah.
Much better as UNLV head coach.
But they did have Herbert run a lot. A lot of them were outside, and he would just be like, get 8 yards and get out of bounds. He ran a lot of those plays. And so do they make – I'm not on board yet, to be clear. I'm not on board yet that they're going to run a lot with him. But I'm hearing a lot of analysts start to make that case.
I think they're going to try to run the ball. I think they'll be a little more effective between the tackles than they were a year ago. But they lost a lot in terms of outside running and pass catching in Austin Ekeler. The replacements are J.K. Dobbins and the Gus Bus. They're going to still have to throw the ball. But you're right. Yeah. And then receivers have to prove they can catch it. So
yeah. The DJ Chark show, they got Ladd McConkey,
Quentin Johnston. You called it last year that he had no hands, and he got a little better at the end of the year. But is he ready to be a 1/2? Not sure. Probably
he's
not.
Fast, get open.
He's big.
Got to catch the ball.
Yeah, Mike Williams light, but Mike Williams catches the ball.
Mike Williams gets hurt a lot.
Yes, but he won't with the Jets. He'll be fine.
He's going to be fine.
It's the elixir you need. Nothing bad happened to the Jets. They never have bad luck. No injury issues.
As long as Rodgers gets hurt, they're fine.
He's good to go, yes. As soon as Tyrod's in, then we're all sharing the same favorite team at that point.
Yep.
All right, 18-game schedule. We had a couple things this hour. Let me say it again. We have a couple things this hour. The sports you love are going to change somewhat significantly, and I wonder how people feel about both of these. We'll get to the other one in the grab bag. But the 18-game schedule has been talked about for a while. With this, it would mean they'd cut down on the preseason even further, even fewer practice games. ESPN sampled players. And?
Sounds like just under 50% were in support of it, like about 48%. But it's weird. A lot of them, you know, some locker rooms were open, so ESPN was allowed to talk to them. I hope I'm not, you know, giving anything away. They don't want that. But if you listen to press conferences around the league, you'll hear the ESPN reporter in each market throw questions out there about this. And I think that was part of what they used for this survey. I know here, you know, Paul, if you listen to some of the Raiders pressers, Paul was asking every player at the end of the presser. You know, league's talked about 18-game schedule, having the Super Bowl at President's Day, moving it back a week. You know, what are your thoughts? And most of them were just saying, we just play when they tell us to play. I don't know. There wasn't like a strong opinion. I think when there actually is a plan in place, you'll get a lot more strong thoughts and opinion from some players. But the general consensus seems to be, well, I guess that would mean more money. So I guess let's do it. Because it will be more – you'll generate more money, so there'll be more in the pool to pay the players. It's one more week of checks, I guess. If they are going to pay more, I think players are fine with it. But you're definitely going to have to adjust the contracts and pay them more.
We had talked in the past about the league and with the Players Association cooperating. And maybe – I guess it would be spearheaded by the Players Association. Would there be a limit on games played? Each player?
That was something they threw out there, that it'd be an 18-game schedule, but every player can only play 17, so you have to sit everybody at least one time during the year.
Yep.
And then it becomes a strategy, like, do you sit your quarterback week one? Do you save it? Hopefully you've clinched everything, and you can sit him week 17. Do you just wait and see if he has an injury and actually sit him that week?
Do you insult the opposition at some point and sit a completely healthy number one quarterback because you're like, we got to pick someone?
I mean, it's the only reason I like the rule. Like, I hate, in general, I hate it. But I like the strategy aspect. Like, okay, how are teams going to employ this? And then asking questions every week. Who are you sitting this week? Who are you wasting their game?
Well, that's another one. When do they announce that the quarterback is sitting? Yeah. Or are they allowed to play games until game day?
Yeah.
That wouldn't seem fair. If there's a rule that you have to sit out, you should have – well, I was going to say you should have your sit-out list ready at the beginning of the week, but your injury report's not available officially or due until the end of the week, so we probably wouldn't know until Saturday.
Yeah, what if you're like, we're going to sit our quarterback this week, and then your backup gets hurt, and you're like, well, this is the week he was going to play. Now this is the week the backup's going to miss.
Yeah. So you'd have
– I think you would have to do it when the inactives are declared.
I was thinking you'd have two inactive lists. One released on Friday, one released on Sunday morning.
I like to wait just an hour and a half before. I like the strategy.
Really?
Yeah. We good.
Sportsbooks want that?
No. I'm
don't
I'm in
don't
for it, though.
Doesn't the NFL have like six premium sportsbook partners?
Sure.
If you're a sportsbook partner, aren't you screaming bloody murder? Like, hey, are we partners or not? Like, come on, we need to know this at least by Friday.
I'm sure they would. I'm
so
sure
we don't get freaking smashed.
I'm sure there'd be a lot of stuff they'd have to work out, but I feel like they have time before they even announce that there's an 18-game schedule and then decide that everybody has to sit out a game.
Should this be a rule?
No, but I want it. Like I said, I want it for the drama and the chaos and the strategy, but I don't think it should be.
Can you imagine if they did it where players can only play 17 of the 18 games? And then good teams on like a Thursday night, although you'd be risking playoff seeds, but good teams, maybe even early in the season, just freaking punt on a Thursday night. They're like, you know what? Six of the best 10 players are not playing. This game's already hard enough to win. We have to rest them at some point. They're out.
I'm more than sure that's what teams would do.
And then if you're – who has Thursday? Is it Amazon?
Yeah. They paid like $11 billion or something like that.
And then Amazon's like, wait, we've been dealing with this. Now you got a rule where – people are going to know ahead of time the best players who are sitting out, your quarterback sitting out. Now, who's going to watch this? What are we paying for?
I'm sure that would be a thing. It would become a thing, and they would have to figure that part out. But what I'd really like is for when teams are like week three, like, you know what? We're going to sit our quarterback this week, so we don't have to worry about that later in the year. And then like week seven, he gets like a one-week injury. Like, this could have been the game. Why do we waste week three? I love that.
I had one more thing to mention on this. Because you mentioned Amazon, and I'm trying to draw the parallel. I feel like there are times that you and I do the right thing, but I can't think of the specific example where, like, something will happen and I'll admit it afterwards, like, to my – or maybe I'll even do it beforehand. Like, I can't think of an example. I should have had one ready to go. But what I was going to tie it to was – and I want to see if you believe Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, in talking about having more games in different places – mentioned that one of the reasons was the games on NFL Network that he had, he didn't feel like were up to snuff, so it was time to sell the game to someone who could put it on the right way. Do you think he's coming up with a Good Samaritan story here to cover, like, money, 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 or do you think he really watched and he's like, you know what, we can't do this. We're going to let the real TV people do it. We got to back down from this.
I think it's the first one.
I think it is, too. And then he came up with a story to make it look like, oh, he wanted to do the right thing for the fans. But so the right thing was putting it behind more paywalls.
Yeah, doing the right thing for the fans has never once happened in any league.
I mean, Atlanta Falcons concessions?
Sure. That's not a league, though. It's a team.
Oh, the whole league doing the right thing?
Yeah,
probably not. 364-1100, 702-364-1100, Family Kia text line. See if you can come up with an example where a league, as a fan, you're like, you know what, they did the right thing.
But in terms of sacrificing money, I mean, they might do the right thing in terms of, like, visibility, messaging, that sort of thing. But in terms of giving up money or making a business decision based on the fans, not the money.
Joseph texts in, 702-364-1100. Said the 17 max games per season for players that have to sit out select games. Said that would be wild for Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's why I love it for all the elements it adds to all sorts of different contests and leagues and the league in general. The strategy that the leagues employ. I love that. But as a just a, as a general concept, I think it's completely stupid. Just dumb. But it'd be the solution that they would use, the NFLPA and the NFL would agree to, hey, you're not getting more money, we're having an extra game. Okay, fine, then they're not playing an extra game.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. 5 o'clock hour, Circa, Stadium Swim, grab bags up in less than 8 minutes. People enjoyed our duet question. Greatest male-female duets of all time. But sometimes I don't think the answer is a real answer, so I'm going to run this by you in a second. Someone sent in Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga. They were good together.
Okay.
Did they have a big hit song together, though?
I feel like, I mean, there wasn't their whole album?
I feel like the height of the, because we mentioned a bunch of hip-hop collaborations. The height of the male-female duet was really like 70s, 80s, into the 90s, and they're usually paired with like a cheesy movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's true. I mean, I can't really think of examples because it's...
I can't name the movies, but... That's usually what they're tied to. Like, I was... Don't get on me for this. I was doing some research the other day. You know I'm a big fan of Cher.
Sure.
I just wanted to have the lay out there.
Sure.
And her and Cetera did a duet. It's tied to a movie I don't even remember. And now I'll have to look it up during the break. But it actually got nominated. That's why... That was that whole story I told last week about watching the 1991... or 89 Academy Awards, and I saw this weird act with all these, like, kind of failed Brat Pack people. But anyway, is this a real answer? No, this is nice job here. Very nice job. Barry Gibbs and Barbara Streisand. Yeah, I was watching that the other day. Excellent. Very good. Is this a real answer? Someone said, did Sexy Red... Wait a second. Is this real? I don't think I'm buying this one. It's written, Adam, as Sexy Red just made a joint with Drake. Does that mean they just smoke weed, or is that a term for they did something together?
They did something together. But
they
was
it good?
It's also referenced in the Kendrick
disc. Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah. In a good way, right? Of course.
No.
No? Why not?
No, who was it? The film Chances Are.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Featured a song.
With Robert Downey Jr. was in it, but he was not the star. I think Cybill Shepherd was in it. If I remember correctly,
it did win.
It didn't win.
No, nominated for best original song at the
1989
Academy Awards.
It did not win.
Yeah.
I forget who won it. I just watched it a week ago. Random knowledge that no one needs to know. Oh, this is a good one, too. Oh, well, it's Crazy Eli. This is another one where the guy really doesn't have to sing. And I've seen it done live, actually, right across the way at Golden Nugget. Ozzy and Lita Ford.
What did they do?
And I don't know that it was ever tied to a movie.
What did they do?
We got to take a break. I'll tell you on the way back. it's Cofield and Company. Coming up, we'll get you in the loop a little more on Weenies and Bikinis. Big hot dog eating contest coming up in less than 14 days. And, boy, something intriguing in the world. Check that. They're not world championships. The Olympics on the men's basketball side. There is a team with a lot of really impressive names on one of the national squads.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle. I don't remember that song, but I'm sure it was good.
Okay.
What? Legendary male-female duets. You had a tough time coming up with hip-hop. You better think about that tonight. You ready next week?
I gave you like 7 or 8 like right off the bat.
I don't think you gave me the best ones. You were put on the spot, though. Close My Eyes Forever by Lita Ford and Ozzy. It's pretty good.
Not bad. I don't think I've ever heard it, but I'm sure it's fine.
In the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right. I think I overstated. One of the rosters internationally looks interesting. Are they a threat to the U.S. maybe in a game where the U.S. is, you know, not playing their best basketball? Team Canada is getting pretty good.
Yeah, they are for sure.
So lead players on the team, Wiggins, Dwight Powell, Kelly Olynyk, Andrew Nebhard, Jamal Murray, Dylan Brooks, R.J. Barrett, and SGA. Shea Gildas-Alexander.
It's a really good team. I mean, I wish AB was on it, but can't have everyone. Former number one pick, Anthony Bennett.
KB reps UNLV on that. Kem Birch.
Yeah.
Not Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's a good squad.
Any shot?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good team. There's no question.
Oh, and Zach Edey's on the training camp roster. Probably going to make the team.
Put him on the team.
Yeah.
You can throw the 7'9 kid on there, too.
That's right. Tell me that didn't blow up yesterday. How much did you see him? I saw a picture with a guy who I think does Bulls games, Chuck Swirsky. He's like, hey, I took this picture with Olivier Rieu, the 7'9 guy. He's like, he was only 7'6 at the time. It is 100% the same appearance as Boban and Stan Van Gundy.
Sure.
It looks like a Photoshop. Like they just shrunk. They might have. He might have. He sent it out.
A small shrinking.
It is so. He's so small, and he's probably like 5'10, but 7'6, and even 7'9, 290 is unimaginable.
It's pretty tall.
It's crazy. I hope he can play. God, I hope he plays.
He can move. He's got the potential.
He's the first guy at that height. Like even George Mersin, he was gigantic and minute. Like they ran okay. I think Zach Edey runs the floor pretty well. I don't think this kid was as flexible, but he's also still – who knows? He might not be done growing. Maybe the first legit 8-footer in college basketball, unless I missed that moment.
I want to be like 8'5".
No, you don't.
Be fantastic.
That would be – for what, a day?
No, I want him to be 8'5".
Oh, him. Okay. I thought you said you wanted to be.
I want him to stop at 8'5".
No, there's so many challenges. But on a basketball court, like we said, he's the ultimate rim protector. He doesn't have to jump and – he doesn't have to jump the rebound. He doesn't have to jump the block shots.
No. Finish alley-oops.
The first person in a Florida game opposition who tries to freaking hammer a dunk on him. What a posterizing moment one way or the other.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck. Okay. I see the news come down. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
On Ryan Garcia for his multiple drug pops. I don't even know what it means anymore in this era. He's got a 1-year suspension.
1 year. And the win over Haney is now no contest, so Haney doesn't have that loss.
And people worldwide will still honor that?
Yeah, they should. I mean, who knows what Saudi Arabia would do? Maybe they'll let him fight.
Actually,
but.
Dude, I think that guy, Turki Alashik, is like so into boxing.
Respects the rules.
Yep.
That's fair.
Like his whole thing is I think he threatened, I don't know if he said it beforehand or after, but when Fury and Usyk hit the ground in Saudi Arabia and Fury's dad was acting like a jackass and headbutted some kid. I know they were like, hey, Turki Alashik's like really annoyed by this. Like, you know, he doesn't want this in boxing.
Yeah. What's honor?
Which
I like it.
I don't think you buy into a big part of boxing if you only want honor. It's kind of the unique thing about boxing that it is
part of the history.
It is very animalistic, and outside the ring things can get real. I almost cursed. Really freaking crazy.
Yeah.
So good luck on cleaning up the sport.
Yeah, there's no question.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, so here's the other big change we were talking about. Might have an 18-game NFL season. In fact, it's almost guaranteed in the near future. NCAA presenting proposals for NCAA tournament. Men's tournament field. This is just the men, right?
Yep.
To push it to 72 or 76 teams. We're currently 68?
Yeah, it'll be 76. They'll add, because right now we have 2 games Tuesday, 2 games Wednesday. It'll just become 4 games Tuesday, 4 games Wednesday. 76 will get done. That's happening.
And?
It's fine.
I agree. I could deal with 84.
Yeah, me too. I'm fine with it. I think. Look, it's going to water it down a little bit, I guess, to the whatever the field is, but it's going to be 4 extra play-in games.
I think there's more balance than there's ever been in college basketball. I know the great fear is people using all this money to collect players. I'm telling you, a lot of those teams that have fielded NIL groups that are getting paid $3 to $6 million as a roster are not going to work. They're not. I'm telling you, it's not going to be cohesive. And there are more the shrinkage from like top to bottom and – not top to bottom, but top to 100 is a lot smaller than it used to be.